From the Far East, from a karaoke joint in Tokyo, this is the Wayward Podcast.
So I've done no preparation whatsoever.
Just ask Allison questions.
Okay, yeah,
I guess if we run out of something to talk about.
Okay.
We can talk about Supernatural. But we'll talk about where you're up to.
Well, we're not allowed to spoil it so much anymore.
Except for the season four.
Five, episode three.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've completed
and her denial four. Of Destiel.
Okay. What? Okay, we'll get into that later. So this is the Wayward Podcast. This is the Japanese-centric podcast where we don't stop talking about Supernatural. This is our fifth episode, episode V. For those who are wondering where are, you know, people out there who are probably asking where are episodes 1 and 2, you can stop asking, because those are kind of gone.
There's so many mails.
Like, yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah, we love your podcast, but can't hear all of it, and it's not on iTunes. Yeah, it's not. So this episode we have a guest.
Yeah.
And we actually have a topic to talk about. So why don't we get started? I am Toshi.
I'm Sarah.
And this is our guest.
I'm Allison.
Okay. You're gonna want to get close to the mic. So. Mm-hmm. And you are visiting Japan. Mm-hmm. Is this your first visit or?
Yeah, this is my first time here.
Okay.
First time on this continent.
Ooh, it's not a continent, it's a country. But anyways, it's your first time in Asia.
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty. So, this week. Why do I keep saying this week? Are we gonna make this a weekly thing?
I think we eventually should.
I think Chris kind of wants us to make it a weekly thing, except there are other podcasts, so we're going to end up hogging everything.
But we're the most interested.
Yes.
Japan is like nerd heaven.
And we're probably the only one, unless the other people start copying us, we're probably the only ones who talk about Supernatural.
Yeah.
And that immediately puts us one rank above.
Right.
So this episode, we're going to talk about visiting Japan and, you know, what to expect, what, you know, kind of tips, what you know, how to prepare, and sort of the culture shock that you're going to experience coming here. So I've been living here for, well, on and off for about 16 years. So I've been corrupted. I'm acclimated to the place. Sarah, how long have you been?
6 years.
Six years.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm pretty much jaded and spoiled, and like Allison will tell you how much I've been like, no, it's easy, you can totally get there by going A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and Allison's like, I don't speak Japanese.
Okay, and this is your first, Allison, this is your first visit here, and how long have you been here so far?
I got here the 12th on a Monday? Yeah, Tuesday the 12th, and I'm leaving on Sunday.
Oh, okay. So you've been here about 2 weeks?
Yeah, Sunday will be 2 weeks.
All right, and so what do you think of this grand country so far?
It's really fascinating. It's so very different from where I'm from.
Okay, you are from?
I'm from Connecticut in the U.S.
Okay, you're from Connecticut?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm from New Hampshire, so we're kind of neighbors.
Ooh, New England.
And Sarah is from
Connecticut. So we actually went to high school together. Okay. And we kind of got into anime and manga at the same time when we were like 15. And I don't know, Allison, I don't know if you know this, but I saw you reading like a manga or something in our school auditorium. I'm pretty sure it was you. Allison has an identical twin, so sometimes my memory's a little fuzzy which one it was. But I saw her reading a manga in our school auditorium, and I was like, I have to be friends with that girl.
Do you remember what manga she was reading?
I think it was like
Peach Girl.
No, it was more like Anime Extra or something, and America Extra. Mm-hmm. So there was a magazine called Animerica.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of the only magazines for a long time. They went under like 10 years ago or something, but they had a manga only magazine that was supposed to be something like Shonen Jump, like a big, what are those called?
Magazine collections?
Yeah.
Of, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I saw her reading one, and I was like, I'm a nerd too, let's be nerds together!
And that's actually kind of like a lot of people's introduction to Japan is the subculture, the anime, the manga, that's how people get into it.
Except no one wants to admit it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the people who are too far gone have no problem admitting it, but
yeah.
You know, the people who have kind of gone to the dark side and just like, you know, fuck it. But yeah, a lot of people don't really, it's kind of, even in Japan, it's, while manga has become ingrained into culture, and manga and anime, they're a part of the culture, it's still kind of, there's still kind of a discrimination against people who are really into it, and
I was really surprised in a book off to see an older man, like a 65-year-old man, reading a manga. I didn't realize it was so culturally accepted because I've never seen anything like that in the U.S. It's only young people. People our age or younger, maybe a few years older. That was pretty surprising to me.
So how did you, what is the purpose of this visit this time? Why did you decide to, like, you know, uproot and come all the way to Japan for 2 whole weeks?
I wanted to visit Sarah to murder me.
Okay. Well, you've got about how many hours left? You've got about 30 hours left or so? Okay.
Oh man, that makes me sad.
Oh.
30 hours. Oh.
Oh, the reality sinks in. Alright. So coming to Japan, what was it like for you two? Like for you, Allison. Like coming to Japan, the whole experience, just first getting on the plane and then getting off the plane. But the whole first let's talk about the plane ride.
It was terrible.
Oh, God. Wait, how long? 13 hours?
14 hours.
14 hours, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the longest I'd been on was, I think I was on an 8 or 9 hour plane to Brazil when I was young, but 8 hours is the max I've ever been on. And when I was arriving at JFK, I knew something was completely different because everyone in the area waiting to be seated was Japanese, except me and some super anime fan that was very clearly
somebody who had, like, you know, pictures on his shirt. And
multiple kinds of pictures.
Naruto.
Socks and shoes.
And probably some tattoo with some very manga-specific.
None visible, but okay. You knew why she was going.
Okay. And getting off the plane the first time, what was the first thing you noticed?
I can swear, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck. This is for real. I couldn't... Everything was in Japanese. And actually, the airport is super... I mean, it has a lot of English in it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's so overwhelming to be in a country where nothing is in an alphabet that you've ever experienced before in any real way.
Yeah.
So getting onto the Skyliner was sort of a miracle done by pointing in symbols and...
Yeah.
Smiling.
Chris of one of us done that. Yeah, he visited last year. He visited us, and that's actually where I met Sarah. That's when I met Sarah. But yeah, he also talked about it in one of his other podcasts. The fact that, like, he visited like China, Taiwan. He visited like other Asian areas, and they're very open. Like they very accessible to non-native speakers.
Oh, really?
To people who speak English. They're guides everywhere. You know, people can generally, they can help you out. If they can't, they can point you in a direction where where someone else can help you. But in Japan, it's very inaccessible.
Yeah.
They do have, it is kind of a regulation that like most, restaurants and menus will have an English, you know, a translation written on it. But even so, it's very, very close. Japan is widely known as being a very homogenous country.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's often a term I call like being in the club. Like if you're not in the club, it's really hard. I mean, Sarah, you came here 6 years ago.
How was it for you? Same?
Well, the first time I came here, I came on vacation, in 2003. And, I think I was still in high school, and I was probably at the peak of my, like, anime and Japanese rock music, obsession. So I was really excited. I knew how to read hiragana, which is the simple alphabet, basically, of Japanese. Yeah.
Japan has, it's said they have three alphabets. They have hiragana, katakana, and kanji. And hiragana is the most basic.
Yeah. And I knew how to say, like, where is the train station? But that was basically it. And, I was kind of on my own most of the time. And I basically just got lost all the time. But maybe Allison, you could talk about how getting lost, you find a lot of amazing things. Like, have you stumbled upon anything of import?
I did. I went to the tomb of Hattori Hanzo today.
Oh.
And I sort of had to get lost to find it, even though I had a map. It wasn't labeling where the entrance was, but it was so cool to be in a cemetery here, because I only experienced American and Western influenced cemeteries, and it's interesting to see the correlations. For some reason, stone is so universal as a way to mark the passing of someone everywhere you go. And that's something I noticed at the Shinjuku Historical Museum too. They had some older gravestones there, and it's interesting just why there's like that imperative to use stone. Maybe because it's so permanent, but probably that's a practical thing. But it was interesting, to really cool to see.
Oh, okay. One quick question is, coming to Japan, how was Japan different from your expectations?
I guess I sort of expected it to be like a Gwen Stefani music video.
Harajuku girls.
And I was not disappointed. I stumbled on this festival at Ueno Park where they were playing Harajuku girls.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So,
serendipitous.
So people are probably aware of that song by Gwen Stefani, but also a more recent song by Avril Lavigne.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's called, like, what's it called? Hello Kitty?
Yes, Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty.
I actually wrote about that in the Kotaku article, yes.
So, on Allison's first full day here, we went to Harajuku, which is kind of like the thing you gotta do on your first day, just to get it out of the way. Do it on a weekday, by the way. Don't ever do it on a weekend, because it's so crowded. But we went into some shops and they were playing that song by Avril Lavigne.
Oh.
And the Western media has been talking about how racist it is, which it is. It's, you know, like... It's,
well, that's actually kind of a point I brought up. It's not so much racist as it is... It's looking... it's a very limited scope. Yeah. I mean, what's depicted in it is very... Like, those things exist in Japan, but that's not all of Japan.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's also, like, things of it objectifying women of color. They're basically robots to Avril Lavigne's whatever she calls herself.
Everything I read online about the video was really fascinating, because the Western response was, this is racism and this is cultural appropriation, and it's old and tired because it's been done by so many artists, and it's not a real homage to that culture so much as like a caricature. And I come here and they're playing it in a store.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're doing it for the tourists or if they're doing it because especially Avril Lavigne's song kind of has a J-pop beat to it, and they don't understand the lyrics necessarily, so I'm wondering if they just don't care, they don't get it, or...
The Eastern response to the song has been actually a lot more overall positive.
Yeah. They love
as
Avril.
Compared to the Western, which has been like, where people are screaming, you know, racist, but in the East, it's been, you know, everybody likes it.
Yeah.
So you got to go to Harajuku, and you got to see all the fancy and all the sort of, that sort of poppy sort of Japan.
Yep.
So what else did you see that was...
Well, we went to the Meiji Shrine, and we were told not to perform.
Why?
Sarah was jumping and taking a picture where she was clicking her heels together, and the guy came out of his picturesque little guardhouse and walked over and was like, no performance.
And I was like, thank you. I guess I'm really good at that. Okay. But what did you think of the Meiji Shrine? So we went from this really busy Takeshita-dori street, the famous street in Harajuku, which is packed with shops and people screaming and all that, to a rather serene shrine. What was your impression of it?
It kind of resonates like with the overall impression of Tokyo and Japan that I've gotten from everything, is it's a big combination of old and new and Western and Eastern, because there's so many influences that are like merging. And it's really fascinating. Like, I found a shrine today in the middle of a you know, a neighborhood, in the middle of, like, right next to Yotsuya Station.
Oh, yeah, the shrines, they do not move.
It's so cool. You turn a corner and you're encountering something so ancient and old, and that's what I see everywhere here, is that it's such a, I don't know, conglomeration. That's not the correct word, but it's an aggregate of, like,
it's
like all
it's
these
a it's a whole mix of modern and very traditional.
Yeah, and it's so different from New York, which their history is several hundreds of years old, not thousands. So as old as you can get, it's very interesting. But it's nothing like Tokyo, where even the modernization, you can. It's just so it's so interesting.
Yeah,
to
and
see that.
even in the customs, there's still a lot left over from the olden times.
Yeah.
I like the hearse. I don't know. This is a custom that's kind of died out. But when you see a hearse, you're supposed to hide your thumbs. That's very.
What if I ain't got no thumbs?
Then you have no problem. But yeah, that's and things like that. There's very old superstitious sort of customs that still remain.
And there's, like, interesting customs, too. Like, I definitely am very aware that I'm comfortable wearing bare legs, and a lot of people aren't. And
yeah.
Even young girls, like, you tend to wear some kind of tights or stockings.
From, like, a young age. From even high school girls are wearing stockings. It's just kind of, okay.
Yeah, like, the fashion. Do you think the fashion is very different here?
I think there's just more of it, more different styles, because I think even New York, which is, you know, like the fashion capital of the world or one of them, it's different. It's people are either wearing trendy things or classic pieces, and then you kind of see a few subcultures, but really it comes down to, are you wearing the new trend or not? Especially in a fashion capital, you have to be on trend or you're not, and you're just wearing classic. Here, I see so many more different styles. It's just very interesting. There's business women, and then there's cutesy girls, and then there's sporty girls, and then there's disheveled girls.
and then there's the I think they're dying out. It's a dying breed, but then there are the gals who would like get tans and like go blackface.
Yeah.
And did you see any of those?
I did when we were at 109. It was an experience.
109 in Shibuya?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, 109 is kind of a mall. It's all mostly women's clothes, and they are notorious for having these really perfect shop girls with their blonde hair, and they wear like 10-inch heels, and the clothes are usually pretty crappily made, but it's rather expensive, and I actually bought a skirt there, but
it's
for reasons.
It's really funny because almost all of the stores are really exactly like the first floor. There's this, it's, I feel like it's like a war between who dresses the better mannequin, because their products are so similar.
Yeah, and like they're different, they're different stores all lined up, but they're all competing with each other on the same floor. Yeah.
And it used to be different. There used to be more variety. Like the first time I went there, in 2003, there was way more variety. And that was like towards the end of when Lolita fashion, Gothic Lolita fashion, was kind of going out. So they had more of those kinds of stores. Now it's all, I guess you would say, like, cutesy but preppy kind of stuff.
It's dividing into two very defined. There's the cutesy, and then there's the pure.
Yeah.
the sort of pure, proper, you know, innocence. Sort of. I heard that.
The microphone picks up everything. microphones.
Very good microphones.
To be fair, though, I just was talking with Sarah about how in the U.S. I noticed that all of the stores are beginning to look exactly the same. Like, you find hipster trends everywhere. Every store, I think Hot Topic even sells a romper. So that's not, I think, unique to Japan. I think fashion is starting to repeat itself over and over.
Yeah, it's probably going to be that way until something outstanding comes out that stands out and changes and mixes things up.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, some of that has to do with the economy as well, that people are not spending as much money on clothes, so and they're not spending as much time going shopping, so the stores are going for simpler, more universal stuff so that people can buy that, or anyone
more
can buy
accessible
that
stuff.
Yeah, more accessible
stuff. And speaking of the economy, how are the prices?
Oh my god. I brought a sum of money, which I will not name here. And I think after I noticed it was rapidly depleting, I was like, wow. But it's really easy to not spend money in Tokyo. You just, can't have a good time. No, I'm just kidding.
you need to learn the tricks of the trade.
Tokyo is about convenience. Like, yes. They have single-serve dinners. I see, America is, family-based. You have a loaf of bread, and that's all you can buy, and fuck you if you live alone. you buy a dozen eggs, or you don't eat eggs. Get a chicken, asshole. It's all oriented towards bulk buying. I mean, we have Costco, so, if you can't get enough of your dozens of eggs at Stop and Shop, you go to Costco, which is an outlet where you buy even more eggs for a cheaper price. Yeah. And it's all bulk. It's very family oriented. And what I actually like that in Tokyo, you can get a meal anywhere. You can get a 300 yen sandwich.
300 yen, about $3.
Yeah, anywhere. At any, late at night. I love the alcohol policy. Americans.
Yes.
Talk to your politicians, consult, write letters, because this was very, very pleasant about my trip. You can get alcohol and drink it in the street. It's wonderful. Yep.
I've been
drunk for 11 days.
I think the vending machines do turn off at night, I believe. Mm. But yeah, I mean, you can go to a convenience store and get alcohol really easy. Just walk in.
Right.
They have an entire shelf, so.
We should stress that this is mostly in the big cities. I've heard from people who live out in the countryside that, convenience stores are a drive away or something. So just keep that in mind if you are going to Japan and you're going outside of Tokyo or Osaka or something.
Or the big cities, yeah.
So, but, Alice and I are both from Connecticut. And Connecticut's alcohol policy is pretty strict.
Yeah, we stopped selling, I think, at 8, and we just added Sunday hours, so now can get booze 1 to 5, and that was a huge, huge thing, because all my life, you've never been able to buy alcohol on Sundays in Connecticut. So
So now Sarah has a reason to go visit.
Well, now I can go back.
Yeah, I think actually it's 10 to 5, it depends, but it stops at 5 on Sundays.
Yeah.
It was a little victory for us drunks.
And they have so much variety of booze here.
Yeah.
We were in a store called Don Quixote, which is probably one of the best stores in the world. It's an everything store.
Yeah.
And everything.
It's like a variety store.
Yeah.
It's got everything, and it's one of those stores that gets their stuff straight from, they don't
wholesale?
Go. Yeah, they get the wholesale. So a lot of their stuff is cheaper.
Yep.
And just, they have weird stuff there too. And,
yeah,
and yet they also have stuff like actual essentials as as
it's like a JCPenney's meets a CVS meets a grocery store. Like it's like an old timey Macy's catalog. Like you can get anything there. I don't think there's really an equivalent. Maybe I don't know, in malls or something.
Yeah, there's nothing really similar in the U.S. I kind of think of it as like a Costco or BJ's in the U.S. where it's not bulk, but it's that.
The variety.
No special displays or anything like that. When they're displaying the price, it looks like they literally take the cardboard box that the product came in and they cut out a square and take a marker and write the price on it.
Yeah.
It's like really bare minimum. I'm sure doing inventory in that store is a nightmare.
Oh god, I don't want to think about things like that.
But we went in the liquor section, and what did you find, Allison? The whiskey?
oh, I saw this bottle of Johnny Walker Red Label for like 1,700 yen, which is like $17, a 750 milliliter bottle, yeah. So your standard size bottle, which to me, I just think that is so much cheaper, because like,
the okay, higher... for a person who does not drink alcohol like me, a Johnny Walker Label that size, how much would it cost in America?
I'm not, a lot more than that, okay. A lot more. I haven't done my market
like
research.
Like $40 or something?
No, more than that.
Wow, really?
Because like, a higher label than that can cost like $200 or $300, like, yeah.
Wow.
So okay. That was not, you know, a $200 bottle, but it was much, much cheaper than... I wish I'd...
That was the cursed bottle.
Or, well, it basically, yeah, alcoholism, welcome here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's no real concept of alcoholism here. Like, it's, people drink to excess, and that's
it's
normal.
It's part of the social circle.
Yeah.
It's part of the lifestyle here.
I think it's the excess in general. Like, you work in excess, you go to school when you're a student to excess, like, hours and hours of your day, so there's a high-pressure situation where you need to relieve yourself, and that is where alcohol fills that role nicely, it seems. At least, yeah.
And getting back to the convenience stores, how are those compared to states?
They're very different. I like that they have so much available. If you live alone, you can really reasonably get stuff for one person. They do a lot more individualized marketing here. Whereas, you know, you have to buy a good... I mean, I don't buy bread anymore because I'm just going to end up throwing, you know, half a loaf away. And that's dumb to me. But here they really market to individuals, which at the same time seems very... it could be... kind of a lonely experience that's like the need is for individuals, like how many people are existing in their own little sphere.
They are literally a convenience. Yeah. They are, and they make living alone very easy. Mm-hmm. And that's both a good thing and a bad thing because of the population problems, the population drop, and the whole convenience of everything. The fact that like in Tokyo, you can walk and get whatever you need. Like, any essential, you can probably just... It's in walking distance.
Yeah, like, four places, too.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, from my house, where I live, within, I'd say, 200 meters, about 3 convenience stores.
Yeah.
So, and it's really easy to survive, if you've got the money.
Yeah.
Again, getting into the money aspect, but, yeah, things are very, very, very expensive here.
Yeah, and, the size of things, what do you think about, because you've been staying in my apartment, and my apartment's kind of typical Tokyo size, central Tokyo size apartment. How does that compare to the U.S.?
I think we pay a pretty similar rent a month, pretty close to, and my apartment could eat your apartment for 3 meals. Like, honestly, I think mine is maybe 3, probably not 4, but about 3 times bigger than yours. My bathroom is probably the size of your bedroom. And I'm not even kidding. I have, like, a full bath. It's very interesting. Everything's smaller. Public toilets are smaller. Like, you close the door and you're like, well, I'm in my coffin now.
And everything's taller, too, because... with no room to spread out, everybody just goes up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're actually on the 10th floor of a karaoke. We're on the 10th floor of a building. So.
You wonder, like, where culture comes into play, because with the U.S., a lot of it developed and there was no frontier. There was just, like, space. There was space. It's a large country. We were discovering it over time, and people staked out large claims, and even in where I'm from, they have... Every, you know, 2-kid family has like a 4 or 5-bedroom house. They're large places there. And it's very interesting to see the smaller aesthetic here. And maybe it's a more of a necessity thing because of a larger population and a small... And it's probably not that different from New York. Because Sheila lives in a very small apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like... and even in the U.S., we're all from the East Coast... But I used to live near Chicago, and space there is much bigger than Connecticut or New York, because the further out west in the U.S. you go, the more room you have. Places in the Midwest especially, like I lived on a 3-acre property. I don't know what that is in metric, but a huge property, and... we lived in a huge house, just like if you live in Japan and you went to a house like that, you would just be like, I don't know what to do with this space. Like, at this point in my life, I wouldn't know what to do with that space. Like, every time I go back to Connecticut and visit my parents and they put me in a bedroom, I kind of, like, put everything in a little corner and I'm like, I don't know what to do with all space.
Like, living in Japan, you become very economical about, like, because space is a commodity.
Yeah.
It's very, very precious commodity. Mm-hmm. So, like, you learn to, like, you know, stuff things in your closet just right. So like it's a game of Tetris.
Yeah, and like, exactly.
And, like, so you can maximize what free space you have. And every time I go home to stateside, visit there, it's just like, oh, my God. Like, I can hear an echo.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's so quiet. What do I do?
Yes. Well, except for physical space, in which case, if you're on, you know, a train or subway, you're going to be packed in there, and people are. I'm not used to that at all, and I don't take a lot of public transportation at home because I have a car.
How'd you enjoy the trains in Japan then?
Very interesting, because I think that my personal space bubble is like, what, like, I like to have a good 2 to 3 feet around me, and I'm not, and I think that's also just that I'm not used to public transportation, but it's interesting to have everyone all close around you, and it's just a very different experience, and then you see people, like, struggling to get on, or struggling to get off, or and tiny, tiny little old ladies, like, struggling, and people are just cruising right by them. And
sort of like plowing over them or through them. Yeah. have you experienced the rush hour traffic?
I did. I think meeting you.
In the evening.
Yeah, it was late, and that was like, you're just single file, and there is a person in front of you, to your left, right, and behind you, all diagonals, and you're just moving with this mob of people. Your best friends.
People get very close, and people, like, there are some times where I'm in the train and I'm surrounded by salarymen and their briefcases are just like the sharp corners of a box in my back, and I'm like, fuck this place. I am off of here. 'Cause like, I have to take, the first subway in Asia was the Ginza line. It was built in the 1930s, and a lot of the size.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. The size of it is, it's not that much bigger than what it was in the 1930s, in terms of the actual car, the train car. So.
Just the people who use it have increased in number.
Yeah. The people have increased in number, and the people have increased in size since the 1930s, too. So, the Ginza line hits a lot of the major business districts.
Yes.
So, from about 8 to 10 in the morning, good luck. It's just a madhouse.
I'd say
mad
it starts
house.
Even at 7.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a madhouse.
I ride the Odakyu line.
Oh.
And that one's notorious for never being, like, it's always crowded.
Yeah.
You have to, even at the ends.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait like 2 or 3 trains to actually get a seat.
And the Odakyu was built to accommodate for the other lines, right?
Yes.
Because Odakyu was built how many years ago?
I don't know.
It's one of the newer ones, right?
Yes, it is one of the newer ones. And I have a huge love-hate relationship with that line. I used to be a salaryman, is the Japanese word for a businessman. I used to work in a business office. This was many, many years ago. And it was the daily commute, the morning and night commute that almost literally killed me. There was a time when I was like standing on the platform waiting on the train, just like, I only need to take 2 steps
I'm
free.
Everyone thinks that though.
It's soul crushing.
Yeah.
And I had to get out of that. And so I basically swore I would never work in a business office again.
I don't blame you. Yeah. Yeah.
So Japan's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's something I saw at the Meiji Shrine. We were looking at prayers, and maybe that's not nice, but it was interesting to look at all the different prayers people wrote down on these little wooden, placards or something.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that in the U.S. that I know of. I mean, some people, you can light candles at churches.
I guess, like,
stuff.
The equivalent would be, like, the Wailing Wall. Like, having a prayer, putting prayers up.
You're not supposed to read those.
Yeah.
But those, you actually, you can read them.
Yes, the ones at the Meiji Shrine. Yeah.
They're all hung, and it's really cool because you see all these interesting drawings and different handwriting and different places and people praying and wishing some guy would love her.
There was one. This is. Oh, I feel bad, but she was like, it was really funny.
I hope someone like I don't know. It was like it was some name like. I was Seth like, Cohen,
I hope, no, no, no. I hope I get a man, a good man, preferably Stephen Katz, but anyone will do. Is Stephen Katz like someone famous? I Googled it, and he's. He was some pediatrician?
Yeah, wasn't there a vet, too? Or
yeah, it's Katz is a pretty common Jewish Stephen, last name, so.
Stephen Katz, someone out there loves you.
We must find the Katz.
Okay. We'll find your misconnection.
So, someone wants to visit Japan, what would you say to them? What sort of tips would you give them, like, beforehand? How to prep, whatnot? What to expect?
Pack lighter. bring better walking shoes. Do all your drinking between bars because it's more cost effective. And just, I think the biggest thing, it's been fascinating. It's really eye opening. So it's just to come with an open mind because it's easy to like write off things that you don't understand. But that's what's the most interesting to me is that this is a way of life completely different. I mean, I am literally on the opposite time zone. My experience has been limited to that. So it's really cool to see different things that I've never experienced before. Public mannerisms are very different here. I've never seen people in the U.S. like, I don't know, pick their nose or teeth very aggressive. Actually, it's mostly men here. I noticed that. Or like pitch a baseball when they're not a baseball player or swing a golf club.
Yeah, use their umbrella as a golf club.
I was talking with Sarah. That's one of the most interesting things here is how animated men are here and how unanimated women are. I mean, they laugh behind their hand. They cover their mouth to laugh. And yet men can, you know...
Can belly laugh and guffaw all they want.
Put their whole hand... One guy was like, he had so much of his hand in his mouth picking his teeth. A woman laughing. She can't even show her mouth. It was very interesting.
Or like men yell... What was that guy yelling at us?
There's this man, a very happy, drunken man, Sarari man, and he was jumping outside a club, and he saw us and started jumping, trying to get us to talk to him, and we kind of walked past, and he was like, fuck you, bitches! It was so funny.
And what did I say?
Fuck you!
Fuck you! I was like, go fuck yourself. That's my general reaction to Japanese men, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah. And then he turned on a dime, and the next girl was like boobies or something like that. Like
Japan is still kind of behind in terms of gender equality.
There is a museum of gender equality near Yotsuya Station, that I did not get a chance to see, but I was very interested to see what it had to say.
We think it's one exhibit and it's just a placard that says women can go outside of the house sometimes.
End of exhibit.
End of exhibit. Now please leave.
Donations, please.
Your husband is waiting for you to go home and make dinner.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the places Japan needs a lot of work on. Sarah.
Yes.
If someone was thinking to live in Japan, what would you tell them?
Don't. I mean, what Allison was saying about like some of the advantages of it, that it is a very interesting place to live. There's always something to do. A lot of it is very expensive, but you can do stuff for cheap. It's not a good place to live with a family, I'd say. It's a good place to do while you're young, while you want to party and stuff like that, while you still like alcohol, if you drink alcohol. If you don't drink alcohol...
You should.
Well, if you can't drink alcohol...
Like me.
Like Toshi. It's not... There are some things that might... I don't know. It might be a little difficult for social interactions because a lot of the culture is surrounded around, the drinking culture. Which, as a 28-year-old, I like, but I'm... starting to not like it. I'm, getting to that age where it's, like...
I remember your hangover New Year's morning.
Oh, yeah, well, once in a while.
So you would say you're maturing?
I'm getting less tolerant of alcohol, probably. but not just that. As a woman, it's a little difficult because there are expectations of women that are very different from a lot of Western countries.
Do your research.
Yeah. And the racism, the I don't know, the it's, indirect racism,
yeah, it's
and
not
soft
over,
racism.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. That you'll never be Japanese, basically, if you don't have a Japanese face, if you don't have a Japanese name. Even if you speak Japanese fluently, people will assume that you don't.
There was that video, have you seen?
Yeah.
He sent it to me, of like, a bunch of foreigners, you know, who speak Japanese, yeah, and an Asian girl who does not speak Japanese in a restaurant, yeah, like, this is what happens every time. It's just like, yeah.
I will say it's very simultaneously flattering and mortifying to constantly know someone's eyes are on you. And you will find them, and you'll, you know, smile because you're trying to be polite, and you'll terrify them, and they will look away, and it's my... I have fun to hear doing
And there's
that.
There's always the one who can speak English or whatever native language you speak, and try to approach you.
Yep.
There's always one, so...
It depends. If you're me, not so much, because I have a permanent bitch face on, so... But
well, okay, if you're looking lost...
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking lost, or you're looking like you're trying to find somewhere to get, how to get somewhere, someone will inevitably approach you.
Yeah, it's okay for tourists, I think.
I think it's... Yeah, it's a... It's a great place to travel. Like, even if you travel alone,
yeah,
like a lot of other places, I would never say like go. I would say like don't go alone,
yeah,
or at least like have someone there who can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But Japan, while it is like, while I start out saying like it's kind of hard language barrier, it's not as open as other countries. You can still get by. You can survive on your own.
And people will try to help you, and unlike the rest of Asia, there isn't so much of a problem of being ripped off. Mm. I mean, some things are overly expensive, but there's a price tag that tells you it's overly expensive. So, for example, if you take a taxi, there's a flat rate as soon as you get in the taxi that's like 710 yen, I think.
It up to 720 because it's
720,
tax.
720, yeah. And what's on the meter, that's what you got to pay. I've heard in other Asian countries... they might expect a little bit more, or when you give the money and they give you your change back, they won't give you as much change.
Mm.
They don't have that kind of thing in Japan, where
no tipping.
No tipping.
Yeah.
No tipping.
So people who hate that will love it here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. No tipping. But also, like, people are pretty honest, and like,
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
The price, that's what you're gonna pay. Pretty much. They're very straightforward with that. Of course, there always are like some shady places but those are far few in between.
Yeah. There's like Roppongi I would avoid, although we're going there tonight.
Well, Roppongi is a good place to party.
Yeah, but be careful.
Yes.
And actually, it's a place where men should be careful because men tend to get their wallets stolen, especially if you look like you have money. Like if you're wearing a suit, if you're... over 30, you might get ripped off. But
Getting pickpocketed, it's a lot less likely if you're a woman, because you're not supposed to touch a woman outdoors, pretty much, unless you're in a relationship with them. Like if you touch a woman and they say you touch them on, you know, they can, and they say like you touch them inappropriately, your career could be over.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened. Like, people groping... Like, people being accused, falsely accused of groping someone.
Not all men.
Yes.
actually, we did a zombie walk
last
Saturday.
I saw the pictures. Yeah, what was that?
So, there's a kind of zombie society or something. I don't know what they're called. But mm-hmm. there's a...
They're called zombies.
Zombies, yeah. Or they're called brains. Like once a month, they take over a bar, and it becomes a zombie bar. I haven't been yet, but I really want to go.
Oh.
Once in a while they have a zombie walk. This was the first time I've been. We were supposed to meet in Yoyogi Park at a specific place, but zombies. And we asked a guy.
They follow. They follow the sound.
Yeah, we asked a guy who was dressed like a zombie, like. Are we supposed to meet here? And he's like, all the zombies are late because they're zombies. It was really funny. And there was kind of a zombie picnic slash walk in one of the biggest parks in Tokyo called Yoyogi Park. Mm-hmm. And, like, people went all out. It was pretty awesome. There was a guy dressed as Shaun of the Dead.
with the whole wiffle bat and all.
Yeah.
But he was quick to point out it was his girlfriend's suggestion.
Yeah. But everyone was like, we want your picture, blah, blah. I was dressed as a hunter. I was not a zombie, although I had blood on my face.
And complete with a tattoo.
I had, yeah, the supernatural possession. Tattoo. Although everybody was like, Aris, 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 from...
probably,
Resident
yeah,
Evil.
Resident Evil.
And I was like, I'll take it. but there was a Thai festival in the park at the same time, and we went to go get food. I had, like, fake blood on my face. And some guy came up to me, and he was like, oh, are you hurt? And I was like, no, it's just makeup, just makeup. There was a zombie walk. And he was like, oh, okay, and he's smiling. And then he cupped my face with his hand, and I was like... No touching!
No touching.
No touching, no touching, no
bad
touching.
Bad touch, no means no.
Yeah.
You forgot to say Zombie Dave.
Oh.
He was the best zombie.
He was
just the bro zombie. Like, there was this one guy with his prosthetics, and he just looked awesome. He was my favorite zombie.
Zombie Dave.
He looked very amiable.
But anyway, like, that was one of the few times that anyone's ever, like touched me in Japan, so and that was a little weird. And he was a Japanese guy too, but it was like he really like cupped my face, like he was grabbing my face, and I was like, no. But
and
yeah,
you did not stab him because
I had a gun.
Okay, you did not shoot him.
I did not shoot him because I didn't want to waste my bullets in
True.
The cult, because you know there's only like a couple bullets in the cult.
Well, can't they make...
you can't make... Only Samuel Colt can
That's
make
right.
you bullets.
What if they bring him back from the dead?
Well, spoilers, but... sort of,
so,
but not really.
Yeah, I think now is a good time to move on to our supernatural portion of the podcast. So, let's see, Allison, you have finished season 4, you're moving on to season 5.
Yep.
And you are very much against spoilers.
Yes.
So we are going to have to avoid talking about...
Spoiler, no spoily.
Oh.
Oh my god, what
and
happened
like,
at the end of season 9?
Yeah,
where
it
Dean,
just...
Well, yeah, Dean becomes...
Where Dean found that Pegasus and they went
married.
To Olympus.
Dean rode Cass as a Pegasus up to heaven, and then they bitch-slapped God.
We watched a bunch of Supernatural this week, and I'm in school, so it was like a struggle to get through Supernatural and keep up with my schoolwork, but it was always nice stress.
You have to get your priorities straight.
Supernatural
yeah.
first.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Family business, come on.
School doesn't go anywhere, but Supernatural, that's you gotta get it now.
It's forever.
Yes.
So that's been really interesting getting into. I love mythology. When I was in high school, I think I took mythology senior year. So initially that was my big draw because I liked hearing of different deities or lore, folklore, creatures that I'd never heard before, and then having an episode that featured ones that I knew of. So that's been
variations,
really
obviously, but
huh?
Variations, obviously,
yes.
but
mm-hmm.
not exact, straight,
yeah.
specific lore, but. But enjoyable and entertaining lore. That's what. That's actually one of the things I have, kind of gripes I have with Supernatural, is I wish there was more Japanese lore in it.
Yeah, so they've had a couple
yeah.
Japanese demons.
A
they
couple.
Had a Kitsune.
I was just going to ask if
they
had one. Yeah. There's one, I don't think you've seen it yet. Yeah, I think it's like, it's one of the later seasons, but they have one that's related
to... It was
to
a silly episode.
Yeah, they have one
episode.
That's... Yeah, they
it was
have,
good. It was
there
good
was, it's a very brief with Bobby. That's actually one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's a really good episode.
And they have one that's related to alcohol. I won't say anything else.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, too.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They don't do a lot of, like, non... Like Supernatural started out with the kind of Americana
traditional,
stuff, like the urban
yeah.
legends... Like Bloody Mary and the hook guy and that
yeah.
kind of thing.
The scarecrow.
Yeah,
they did. They did shoot Krampus. Didn't they do Krampus?
They did Krampus. What was Krampus?
He's Santa's evil. It's a German legend.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's right.
The evil demon that if you've been a bad boy, yeah, the opposite, you to hell.
The anti Santa. Yes,
I'm German, and I have pictures in children's books from childhood where he's a featured character.
Wow.
They still have Krampus festivals in Germany.
Yeah. Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. People dress up like the devil.
Yeah. But now, I mean, at the point that Allison's at, it's kind of more Judeo-Christian mythology sort of stuff.
Revelations.
But of its own spin on the whole thing, as Allison's been pointing out, that like, so for example, how does one become a demon in the Bible?
Well, you don't become a demon. Demons are angels that fell from heaven, so they're fallen angels is what they are. I don't think human beings can become demons, and you know, God forbid I'm like misquoting the Catholic Church, but I'm pretty fairly sure that people don't become demons. You just go to hell.
Becoming damned and becoming a demon are two separate things.
Yeah, totally separate. Yeah. I mean, there was basically Satan, you know, chose against God and he fell from heaven, and all the angels that chose to go with him are now demons in finite number.
So, like in Supernatural, a fallen angel becomes. Well, some of them become human. Mm-hmm. One of them becomes human. Why does Cask become human? And the others special. Don't. Oh, yeah. He wants to be special. Human. He wants
actually,
a baby.
You know, when I think about that, like, how many demonic, like, fallen angels have shown up in
Satan? So Lucifer obviously. Is fallen.
Yeah, but, like,
Anna.
Okay.
Anna's a fallen
angel.
Because,
like, I was like, how... Because he's, like, the only one I could think of off the top of my head was, like, Lucifer. He was the only one, and, like, he was always treated special because he was an angel.
Right.
While the others were mm-hmm. his creations. They were demons and devils. So he was, like, on a different tier.
Yeah. So Lucifer's fallen, but he has a different role, which I'm not going to spoil because it's explained in season 5.
You'll see it.
So
it's coming soon, but yeah, don't spoil
it. I'm not going to explain it. But because he's an archangel, it's different. But okay. a regular angel.
How many archangels have you encountered so far?
Three. Two. Yeah,
just
two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay,
so.
So who and who?
Raphael and Lucifer.
Okay.
Yeah. And wait. I guess Uriel doesn't count.
They just trapped Raphael. They just trapped him in the.
Oh, okay. In the circle.
Let me go, brother.
our like little, you know, Christian children's books have a different picture of the angel, but you know, it was.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it's all like based on Western art and concepts, and angels in those books are always blonde and blue-eyed because yeah. some Germanic or British person drew them that way.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that was my favorite. I got to go to St. Ignatius Church today. I was going to get you a little St. Michael card.
Didn't you?
I didn't know if you'd like it. I don't know. It's funny. It's St. Michael. Like,
I would have put it next to Dean.
Stabbing a devil.
Which Dean? Oh, your little...
I have several deans in my apartment now.
That's what I was going to say. Like, which dean?
Well, I got to see these beautiful Japanese versions of the Madonna and Jesus, which are so cool because I think it's really neat.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, Japan went through a period when Christianity was getting spread here. Mm-hmm. It's especially prevalent in the southern regions in Kyushu, where I think, what's his name? It's lost to me. There's some famous person who was like, you know, a champion of Christianity down there.
It was like the Portuguese missions, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And there were some Japanese, Amakusashiro, I think it was his
name. I don't
remember. He's a famous Japanese, like, sort of legend, hero mm-hmm. sort of person who was a champion of the Christianity, religion of Christianity down there, mm-hmm. I believe. But, we got interestingly enough, we're talking about Japan now when we're trying to talk about Supernatural.
Damn it! No, it's good.
That's because the next episode is going to be in Japan. I'm pretty sure we're psychic here, just divining the future.
I did see two guys in the train station today that were obviously Sam and Dean. I saw two white guys. One of them was tall with dark brown hair. The other
long
was
long shoulder length.
It was like ear length.
About okay.
And he was wearing red plaid shirt. And there was a slightly shorter one, blonde, in a leather jacket.
Slightly shorter?
He's only like, well, Jared Padalecki is a giant moose human being.
Yeah.
So that's not fair.
Okay.
He's like 6'4", 6'5", or 6'5" on a good day. Which is like, and Jensen Ackles is...
A midget?
He's 6 feet tall.
I know, but in comparison.
They have him between episodes on like a stretching rack. To get him to like just not wear lifts.
He's on the Tom Cruise box. But
so
yeah,
you saw Sam and Dean. And what did you do?
I blinked at them with my demon eyes, and then we ran around the train station for a while. But I gave them the slip. I'm okay. A wily one.
You didn't have to smoke out, or
no? Okay. I don't smoke. I'm keeping this body.
Oh yes, you have so much to, Allison. You have so much to look forward to.
Yeah. So, Allison, would you say that you have joined the cult of Supernatural?
I definitely like the show a lot. It's there's a lot of, I think it's, everyone that I speak to about it has talked to me that it's, you know, a pandering, guy-heavy, homoerotic show. I mean, honestly...
Homoerotic yet homophobic at the same time.
But I think that's not fair to the show, because to be fair, I don't like reality TV. I don't watch American Idol. I never will. I'm not that kind of person. I like shows that have substance, and there's a lot of different substance. The plot is very interesting. There's a lot of character development, but there's storyline, and there's, there's little subplots with these real myths and real folklore that they do a pretty good job of including. It's very interesting, and it has, like, a longer-term running plot device with this heaven and hell. Which, it's not, and it's very well shot. I mean, it's hard to get a show that hits all of those notes, that has cinematography is pleasing, and the acting is good.
I saw those quote marks.
I have certain feelings about Samer, but that's just my personal opinion.
Don't say shit about my husband.
Yeah, I won't. But overall, it's really hard to find a show that hits every level. And for me, it's really hitting every level. I like that it's visually very pleasing. The storyline is good. I love the myth and folklore, and I think it's moving in an interesting direction. Sometimes I think it's slightly blasphemous to the Catholic Church, but it's a fiction. It's clearly, you know, not going to the Bible for every it doesn't, I mean, it's just a device,
it's
and it's
fun.
Interesting. It is. Yeah. It is a lot of fun.
And I find it very interesting that a lot of Christian people enjoy the show. I'm an atheist. Like, I was never raised in any kind of religion. Jewish kind of, but you know, Jewish is more like a philosophy for most people.
You can't control a golem.
I could. It's in my blood.
You don't have your own?
I do. Its name is Jared Padalecki. He just doesn't know it yet.
Okay.
But, like, I have a bunch of religious friends and people I know online who are quite religious who love the show. And that's surprised me at first, but it kind of makes sense at the same time. It's kind of like the, I don't know... The founding fathers of the United States followed this type of Christianity. I can't think of the
Protestantism.
No, but it was like their way of thinking that God created the earth, but man is left up to its own devices to do what they want, and that's the whole team free will thing. That's the theme of Supernatural, that like destiny, there's no such thing as destiny. Our lives are not preordained, or some people think they should be, hence the angels, but they're not, and humanity can choose their own outcomes and things like that. So I guess a lot of Christian people like that, and for atheist people, we kind of like the blasphemy. No, I'm kidding. Like, that's not it.
There's a lot to the show.
It's a mythology aspect.
It's a story.
It's
a well-written story. It's interesting. I have to say, from a Catholic perspective, it was really interesting that these two brothers were, from this perspective, they were, killing demons for four seasons without ever using, you know, Christian and Catholic and Judeo-Christian devices, never mentioning God. Like, that was, it really took almost
3 or 4 seasons until they actually got an angel.
It was really fascinating that they could use the material goods from a religion without ever mentioning the God of that religion. And it was interesting because I think there was a moment when Dean was like, "You want me to pray? I'm gonna pray. But that was fascinating to me. That, and maybe it's just more the perspective. Some, like, the, you can see it's like a more modern perspective on it. And it was like, those are just tools. But it is kind of interesting to see that. And now that there is a God mentioned and people are looking for him, looking for him, as far as I know. I'm only up to a couple episodes of season 5. It's just, that was really interesting to me, to be able to use these devices and tools and, you know, holy water and stuff.
Right, because, like, everything supernatural in that show has been out to kill them and eat them or something like that, or do something bad. So... there was an episode where they thought they met an angel. I think it was in season 3 or so. And Dean asks Sam, "Do you believe in angels and God?"
Oh, yeah.
And Sam says yes. And Dean's like, "Well, I don't, because I haven't seen them. And I can't believe that there's something good out there that's not human." Well, does Dean believe in good? He doesn't believe
does
at that
now?
Point.
No spoilers.
But, like, it was hard for him to believe that there was something that's not human that could be good. And it turns out all the angels are not good. Most of them are
dicks.
Are dicks, as Dean says. And even the good ones are kind of horrible at the same time. So, I kind of like that aspect, that it recognizes the existence of these deities, but at the same time, it's like, well,
they're not all powerful. Yeah,
they've all got
their own agendas.
They got their own agendas. They're more human. They're more like the Greek gods.
Yeah,
who,
very much so.
Yeah, who acted more like humans and were petty and would fight and
get jealous
and wanted power and things like that. Which I kind of like.
I think there's a lot of interpretation on the storyline, which is why I don't get offended as a Christian person, because you can see they pull from so many different religions. I think they use a lot of Judeo-Christian lore, because it's very easy to use. It has a long tradition. And what's interesting is that from kind of more of like, less about the show, but in general, it's interesting to see that many major religions and cultures have this concept of a demon. Like, demons are kind of universal concepts, which is kind of neat to think about. I don't know. I mean, maybe terrifying.
No. Right. So you are up. How soon do you think you'll finish season 5, which is probably...
I'm sure Sarah and I will watch an episode later.
I'm going to stumble home drunk and be like...
Yes. Son of a bitch, time for Sunday.
Bitch.
I'm flying home on Sunday, so I'm probably going to be
and
tired and exhausted.
We are recording this on Friday, so that's a day, 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll watch a few more episodes, but I'll move pretty fast. It's getting to some quick moving plot, it looks
sort
like.
Of, yeah, it's building.
Season 5, I think, is the strongest season through and through.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of build up, it seems, to this moment.
Some of the, just not spoiling, but some of the weaker seasons are coming up, just say.
Although, I would say the end of season 6 is one of my favorite endings. Mm. My now second favorite ending to a season. Or third favorite.
See, end of season 5 is pretty
end
damn
of season
solid.
5 felt like a finale to the series.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people say, although I'm really happy they continued.
Yeah. Well,
and
it could be a finale.
Yeah.
It doesn't
and
have
And you
to.
Could you could actually stop watching the show at
You're
that
not going
point.
To.
Don't. No. Don't. If you don't, cuz the end of season 9
I'll get there. Yeah. I have to say, the end of season four, if I was watching in real time at that time when it came out, I would be so mad.
How do you think I feel?
That was not an ending. That was the beginning, clearly. And it was just like, cliffhanger, see you in 3 months. Like, it was just that.
Their season finales are
spectacular.
Spectacular. And I...
Even if the season itself is kind of shitty, the season finale...
Even season seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, sans spoilers, like no spoilers at all. Yeah. Your thoughts on the end of like season 9.
I screamed. Allison was there. She can attest. She can, say, I screamed, right?
Yeah, definitely screamed. And I had a really hard time not looking up, but I struggled through and didn't look up.
And I threw my Dean doll across the room.
That is also
okay,
true.
so we can probably discuss season 9 on a later episode that Allison will not be here to be spoiled on, and probably Allison will end up not listening to because...
Yeah, don't listen to it,
until you finish season 9. Alrighty, so I think that's about it for this episode.
Yep.
This is the Wayward Podcast on oneofus.net, facebook.com/oneofusnet. I am Toshi.
I'm Sarah.
And this has been our guest,
Allison.
And we have a kind of a tradition where at the end of every episode, we go with an outro song and we choose a Japanese song, just to give people, you know, give foreigners a sort of taste of the variety of Japanese music, and we've kind of decided on the spot that when we have a guest, it's our guest's turn to choose a song. So artist and song, what shall we go out on this episode?
Although it's not a Japanese song.
Oh.
But that's okay.
The video was featured in Japan and is really awesome.
We'll let that pass. Go ahead.
It's Smooth Sailing by Queens of the Stone Age, and you should watch the video. It's really good.
Okay, and that is the Wayward Podcast, and I suppose we'll see you next time.